Good morning. Good to see you. Welcome to a warm place on a chilly but bright and beautiful day. Welcome if you're visiting or here for the first time to Rosedale United Church. This is a place hoping to be a center for human flourishing in the traditions of the church, and everyone is welcome here. A few things by way of announcements. Kristen, if you're new here, Kristen is the real minister. I'm the pretend minister. Kristen is away just for the weekend, and we'll be back through the week and then next Sunday. With me sharing worship leadership today, Dr. Sarah Svensson, who I'll call Sarah 1, and organ scholar Sarah Gangle, Sarah 2, and Mariana Bell, not only singing with our very fine choir, but Mariana Bell offering worship leadership in the liturgy today, and Gabriel will be our reader for the day. Now, hopefully you'll have the opportunity to stay behind and join in some visiting and coffee and tea in the hall out here following, and you will see the new art, which is lending its beautiful colors and shapes to our hall. The artist of the month is Lorraine McMahon Nelson. There she is. And Lorraine will be glad to look at that art with you, and Lorraine is hosting the opening reception for her art show today at 1 o'clock. The flowers that are placed, again, some beautiful color brought into the sanctuary today. These are presented by Bob Goodings and his family in very loving memory of his late wife, Liz, whom many of us will remember very fondly. Would you join me in a moment in the response to the call to worship? This is all printed in your program, and there's another announcement.
Hi. Sorry, just a note that Easter Choir, Lent Easter Choir, starts a week from this Thursday at 7:15 p.m. So if you love to sing, but maybe you don't have time to be in the choir all year round, you can join us for 6 weeks. We have some beautiful music coming up. Email me for more details. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah. I think this choir has a lot of fun. I sat in briefly on rehearsal today, and I take her up on that offer. It'll be good. You'll be among good people singing fine music. Our call to worship. Would you stand with me, please, as we invite one another into worship, and then we'll sing together. To all who are hungry, to all who seek a way, to all who are lonely and long for companions, to the weak seeking strength, and to the strong seeking wise direction, to those who dance and to those who grieve, this church opens wide her doors in the name of Jesus. We come with joy, children of God and friends to all of God's world. And remaining standing, we sing together.
Thank you.
And remaining standing, would you turn and greet one another as we form ourselves as the church in this place at this moment, greeting one another with the words, "The peace of Christ be with you and also with you." Let's greet one another.
I haven't taken this class yet. Dear Lord Jesus Christ,
light of the world, as I light this candle, may we acknowledge your love and kindness. We acknowledge your coming and your sacrifice and celebrate your resurrection and the gifts of your word and the Spirit. We pray that your light enlightens our minds and spirits. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts, seeking your divine presence to envelop this gathering. As we assemble in your name, we ask that your Spirit move among us, preparing our hearts and minds for worship. We are comforted by the promise you made in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." May your presence guide us, renew us, and draw us closer to you. Transform this space into a sacred sanctuary where we can truly encounter your holiness. Let your Spirit permeate every aspect of this service, filling it with grace and reverence. Amen. And as Jesus Christ taught us, we all say together, O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, as you may know, we have an opportunity early in the service each week to open up what the teaching theme is going to be. It's almost always based on the reading selected for the week, what's going on in the world around us and within this church family here. So here's what I've got for you today, and we'll give you, after a few sentences of intro, just a few moments for your own quiet reflection. This is the day in the traditional church calendar called the Day of Transfiguration. Traditionally, that's the last Sunday before Lent begins. And of course, this week is Ash Wednesday, Shrove Tuesday, and then Lent begins next Sunday. Transfiguration means the face is changed. And it's a reflection of the two stories that Gabriel is going to read for us in just a moment. The legend of Moses on Mount Sinai encountering what the Hebrews called the Shekinah, the presence of God, and he could not help but glow such that he had to cover his face. And then the story of Jesus in his own day, many hundreds of years later, on a mountaintop, again encountering the presence of God and glowing so that his disciples saw holy presence in him. So the question for you is, what's glowing around you or in you or for you right now? What signals the presence of the great and holy life? I won't say any more than that. Just ponder what's glowing for you, around you, in you. We'll take a few moments. Now let's turn to the teachings of the scriptures, and I'd like to invite Gabriel Anthony Lang to come forward with the first of the readings from the book of Exodus.
A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 34. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, and that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with them. This is a witness from the Hebrew scriptures. In these ancient words, may we find wisdom for the living today.
Let's sing together in response. Jesu, joy of our desiring. We'll stand together if you're comfortable standing.
please stay standing as you are able and join me in the prayers of the community. Loving Creator God, we live in divisive times, times that feel like the ground beneath us is shaky. Teach us to listen to one another without judgment, but with love. There is much wisdom to be found in others if we look for it, and help us to ignore those ones who seek to divide us. In your love, may we find security, faith, and joy. For new life, new hopes and dreams among us, grant your love and peace. Many of our church family are traveling, and we ask for journey mercies for them. Many of our church families were wounded in the past weeks. For those dealing with deep hurt and questions that have no answers, grant them peace, comfort, and to feel the depth of your love. May we grow as a family together. We ask that foreign aid programs, so recently terminated by our neighbors to the south, be reinstated so that the most vulnerable in our world receive the healing treatments they require. May countries torn apart by war find solutions to their daily living, and may nations in the West agree to study war no more. We ask that the unhoused, those without a family doctor, find assistance and respite from their desperate conditions. We ask that the flow of drugs and guns from around the world be halted so that we may enjoy the benefits of living in a bountiful country and province. All this we ask in the name of our brother, Jesus Christ. Amen.
It is our custom in the response of our offerings. If you're here as a guest today, you're here as a guest of the congregation. If you'd like to make a contribution to the work of the church, there are some envelopes and a box at the back. Would you join me in the response? We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts. And you're invited to take part at this point in our service in a simple gesture to honor a prayer you are perhaps holding in your heart or an intention you would like to set. There are some bowls placed at the front of the sanctuary here with water that can function as a reminder of your baptism, or simply remain in your seat and think through and reflect on your gratitude or your intention. We'll have the gift of some quiet music to accompany this time of reflection. You're invited to be seated unless you want to make your way forward.
Oh, operator, operator. Information. Give me Jesus on the line. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Operator. Operator, information. I'd like to speak to a friend of mine. Oh, prayer is the number. Faith is the exchange. Heaven is the street. And Jesus is his name. Oh, operator. Information, please get me Jesus on the line. Whoa, 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 operator. Information, tell me why. Whoa, yeah, operator. Information, don't try to tell me what number to call. Oh, oh, my mama used this number when I was very small, and every time she dialed it, she always got a call. So, operator, information, please get it, Jesus, on the line. All right. Are you hearing that call from Jesus? Because it is coming from inside the house. It is time. It is time to heed his call. Go out, spread some joy. Jesus is calling for you to do it, for all of us to do it, even in the balcony. You got a call. Hear the call. Yes. Oh, yeah. Operator. Operator. Information. Please help me. Operator. Operator. Information. Just give me a private line, cause I'm calling from the heart. Operator, information, please get me Jesus on the line. Please get me Jesus on the line. Please get me Jesus on the line. Hear the call.
Oh, yeah. What's that? Follow that. Yeah, we'll just have you sing it again. Just for the, for context, for those of you that are under 40, it used to be on a phone, if you hit zero and dialed it, there was a human being called an operator. Who would answer and give you information, and it was actually true information back in that day that you got from your phones. Thank you, Lori and choir and Sarah and everyone. I'd like to invite Gabriel to come back up and to continue with the reading of the scriptures with our gospel lesson for today.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking about his exodus, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but as they awoke, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were as terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one of anything that they had seen. This is a witness of the early church. May these words confront us, challenge us, and inspire us.
Gabriel, thank you so much. Well, as always, thank you for the invitation and the warm welcome. A personal moment before I move into some reflections here. Over the last year or year and a half, you have warmly welcomed me back to this pulpit. But almost every time I'm here, there's a pause and someone says, "But when will we see Heather?" Because, you know, she's the nicest one of the two of us. Well, today's your day. Heather is with me today. So after a long absence, welcome back. And she often says how much she misses hearing sermons from me. And, I don't do that at home. As you might guess, there's a very precious relationship between a preacher and their sermons. At the very best, it's a sense of authenticity and ownership, a weekly struggle to arrive at this moment and say, this is the best I can make of all of the practice of my faith this week, so here you go, here's what I've got. At the worst, it's a kind of vanity, this attachment to our sermons. In my home church in Mississauga, First United Church in Mississauga, many years ago when I was still a student, one Sunday, just as the preacher, the Reverend Earl B. Coulter, was getting really wound up a few minutes into the preaching, he noticed that the two people down in the very front row were sort of turning and chatting with each other. And he stopped preaching for a moment and he turned and he said, "Hey, I'm talking to you. Why aren't you listening? I've worked all week on this," he said. Something of the character of this is in the reading. Jesus on the mountaintop, the light of the presence of the divine, and a voice to the disciples, kind of like the voice of my old preacher. "Hey, aren't you listening? This is my beloved son. Pay attention. Pay attention." The intent of Mark, the gospel writer, is very clear. It's not a complicated thing. He wants us to understand, this is his project, that this Jesus is the Son of God, no less. The scene is on a mountain, which is where the truly holy things happen in the Bible. Moses and Elijah are there, top of the A-list people in the Bible, there with him. There's a dazzling white glow, always in the Hebrew worldview, a sign of the presence of the holy, and a voice from heaven, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." So there's the first point of clarity in developing a message out of this. Jesus, Mark says, is the Son of God. The second point of clarity as you begin to develop a sermon out of this is, so what? So what? Mark thinks that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, so what? Why should we care? Let me hasten to say that this is a crucial stage to get to in any exploration of the teachings of our faith, to articulate so what, not in the flippant sense of this could mean nothing, but in the sense that embedded in this story from an entirely different place and time, it's in an entirely foreign ancient culture, there might lie something that brings us wisdom, in fact, saving wisdom. This is the foundation of our teaching, that we turn to these possibly meaningless old things and we say, hey, there's wisdom, saving wisdom in this for us. So what is it? What's in here? Why should we read it? Why should we tell it to the children in Sunday school, preach about it, put it in our windows? How will this thing that Mark believes shape our day? That's what "so what" means. It's not intended as anything cheeky. Let me reiterate the first two points of clarity. Mark thinks Jesus is the Son of God. So what? We're all set up for a profound resolution. Why would Mark feel the need to so dramatically position Jesus in this way? And I'm betraying a conviction of mine here that many of the miraculous stories we read are not history that could have been videotaped had someone had an iPhone. They are legends told to make a point about the person they are honoring. Why would Mark tell this story about Jesus? Let's reverse engineer this. Why did Richard Nixon insist that he was not a crook? Because they were saying that he was a crook. It is 30 years after the death of Jesus, and people are now expressing uncertainty, ambivalence about who this Jesus was. There's an ambiguity setting in, the movement is faltering, he's long gone, people are uncertain about whether or not to follow his ways among all of the competing traditions available to them. So Mark had better write down something that makes it all clear. Jesus is the Son of God, so listen to him. Son of God. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Do you remember Reverend Bill Phipps? Bill Phipps was the moderator of the United Church from 1997 until 2000. He died a couple years ago. His great passion was that the Gospels and the life of Jesus are an expression of God's dream of a just, life-giving economy among humanity, a way of restoring our ways so that all of God's people are given a share in the goodness of the world. Faith and the common good was his slogan. Now, what most folks in the United Church remember about Bill Phipps is that he got us into the front pages of the newspapers across the country for a few days. He got ambushed in a theological debate with the editors of the Ottawa Citizen in 1997, and suddenly for a week or so, front page news stories all across Canada were hotly debating whether or not Jesus was in fact the Son of God, because Bill had said, well, it doesn't really matter. Bill had set aside traditional theological certainties and dogmas in order to talk about justice, and particularly economic justice. He said, the divinity of Jesus and the reality of heaven and hell are irrelevant, says the new moderator of the United Church of Canada. This is the Ottawa Citizen in October 97. What really matters, says Reverend Bill Phipps, is mending a broken world. Mending a broken world, which is drawn from the Jewish notion of tikkun olam, the healing of God's world. Here's what I think was going on in 97 and before that and since then. The great difficulty, one of the great difficulties for the modern world, is to imagine that there is such a thing as the Son of God. It seems to be a category of thought that belongs to another time. It's quaint or even embarrassing for the modern intellect. So we have preferred in our tradition to talk of Jesus as a great teacher of wisdom, to talk of Jesus as a bringer of justice for the poor and the outcast, as a great liberator for the oppressed, as the finest example of human life. We have preferred this. These are the categories the modern mind could cope with. Now, in the middle of that dispute in 97, we hosted an evening at our congregation that was in Guelph at the time with some senior theologians of the church, and we tried to figure out what the heat in the front page of the papers was all about. Some of our members said they felt a sense of relief. They had always had trouble thinking of Jesus as God and what Son of God might mean, miraculously born. They found it much better to imagine him as a fellow human, much more meaningful for us to have a fellow human as a companion. Others of our members were aghast that their friends would say this. If it was a stretch for us to imagine Jesus as the divine Son of God, this was simply the leap of faith that God required us to take in order to be part of this community. Faith amounted to pushing ourselves to believe something awkward. So we had this kind of frisson going for a while. In the modern mind, the struggle is with whether there is, in fact, such a being as a Son of God. Not so in the ancient world. Where Mark was writing, there was actually a competition to see who would be the Son of God. Because whoever was the emperor at the time had the right to call themselves the Son of God and to claim that they were in fact divine themselves. So for the Roman world at the time of Jesus, it was Caesar who held the title of the Son of God. It was not a foreign concept to the people of the day. And so here's the rub. To make the claim, as Mark does, and as the church has always done, that Jesus is the Son of God is precisely to make the claim that Caesar is not. Caesar is not. There's a t-shirt that could have been worn in first century Judea. Caesar is not. Therefore, the urgency for Mark, there is a time to choose. It was not a deep conceptual idea for theologians to throw around like a bun fight at the seminary dining hall. It was a crucial category of decision. Who will you walk with? Who will have lordship? Who will claim your attention? There are two ways, and which way we choose will make all the difference. Into which set of hands will you lay your life, your soul, your family, your future? The empire of Caesar is a brutal and noisy thing, and it has all the power, but it will not bring you life. In the community of this Jesus, there will be little power, no guarantee of wealth, and ample risk. But there is a way of peace here, a welcome for all, a culture of healing and hope. Mark's project is to lift this up and say, will you choose this way? We will be offered many competitors, and they are compelling ways of organizing ourselves, our hearts, our communities, and our economies that promise us many things. Caesar still gets the best toys and the worst weapons and the apparent power. There is, of course, a new Caesar claiming lordship, demanding obedience. An angry power, a glowering orange Caesar to the south of us, dividing us. Division and discord are the sharpest tools, perhaps the only tools in his kit. The situation of Mark is now. It's our situation again. Who will we follow? These two ways. One of them leads to life. Lent is ahead now. It begins this week. Lent is ahead as it always is. inevitable struggle, doubt, and fear. Easter is ahead now, as it always is. These two things, the perennial shape of our story, unextinguishable hope lies ahead. The ancient world intrudes a voice into our decision, and this community and our preachers and our singers and our windows and our books all echo the old voice. This one, this Jesus, this one is the way. Against all the apparent odds, this weakling of a man who loved deeply and died without a fight, leaving us nothing but a bowl of water and a table. This one is the way, and this way will be for us life and unextinguishable hope. We're going to sing it as we go. Hope. Hope springing eternal. Let's stand and sing together. And now, friends, back to from where we have come into what lies ahead we go. May we go with a bold and a tender love.
May the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. And the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts.
Baby.